This is KAYT-FM.
881 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport.
K223BI.
98.9 Monroe, West Monroe.
K255BT.
100.1 Lake Charles.
K261EB. And KQJO-FM.
99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
And online at www.kaytfm.com.
It's time now for KAYTKQJO's Moments in Black History, celebrating Black excellence with heroes from the past and the present. So sit back, listen, learn, and enjoy.
This is It Is Written. I'm John Bradshaw. Thanks for joining me. Have you ever wondered what you're actually capable of? Now, I don't mean do you have greatness within? Could you complete an Ironman? Could you run a Fortune 500 company? I don't mean that. Quite the opposite, really. There are times, far too many times, that we see the darkest side of humanity. What does it take for a person to go to one of those really dark places? What do you have inside yourself that makes you capable of going there? In 1921, people who otherwise would have been considered, for the most part, decent, law-abiding, upstanding members of society, took part in the massacre of 300 innocent civilians. And the likelihood is you've never heard anything about it. Here's some details. 300 people murdered, thousands more injured, property damaged on a massive scale. Businesses, homes, hotels, theaters, personal property destroyed. Insurance companies refused to pay out the victims of this unfathomable horror, and nobody was brought to justice. The proper authorities weren't alerted until well after they could have made a difference. In fact, there was a concerted effort to keep help from arriving to assist the victims. And in case you missed it, 300 people were killed, hundreds were injured, 10,000 people were left homeless, and 40 or so city blocks were burned to the ground. So where did this take place? Yugoslavia? The Soviet Union? Cambodia? No, it happened here in the United States of America. In fact, right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, right here on this spot where I am now. The worst civil disturbance in American history. It's an incredibly little-known atrocity. The vast majority of people have got no idea that it ever happened, in spite of it being one of the worst incidents of racial violence in American history. And given the history of this country, that's really saying something. In 1921, Greenwood, Oklahoma was a prosperous community. In fact, it was the wealthiest black community in the United States. It was known as the Black Wall Street. But on Memorial Day weekend that year, Greenwood's prosperity, in fact, Greenwood itself, came to an awful, abrupt end. Greenwood was populated exclusively by African Americans, many of whom were very prosperous and ran successful businesses. Because of Jim Crow laws, Greenwood's residents weren't able to shop at white-owned businesses in Tulsa. 100 years ago, Greenwood had its own hospital, many doctors, including a nationally renowned surgeon, a library, schools, hotels, theaters, and a whole lot more. At the time, Tulsa was a hotbed of the biting, bitter racism that plagued the United States. Between 1882 and 1968, there were almost 5,000 known lynchings spread across more than 40 states. Experts agree that there were undoubtedly more, maybe thousands more. Almost three quarters of the people who were lynched were African American. Think about what's involved in this. Lynching was murder carried out by a mob, and often with the cooperation of law enforcement. If law enforcement didn't actively participate, and there were times the law couldn't prevent a mob from doing what it wanted to do, law enforcement officers often refused to try to prevent the murder and were complicit in what went on. Huge crowds would come out to watch lynchings. Now, these weren't people coming to witness a public execution that had been ordered by a court of law. They were coming to watch mob justice. They were coming to witness a murder. Photographs of lynching victims would frequently be taken and then turned into postcards, which would be sent around the country. There were times that the protagonists of or witnesses to lynchings would cut off the fingers and so forth of lynching victims and keep them as souvenirs. So we're asking the question, what kind of person do you have to be capable of that? Now first, some background to the Tulsa Race Riot, or the Greenwood Massacre as it's often called. Before it had taken place, a 19-year-old white man, Roy Belton, admitted to having murdered a taxi driver. An angry mob seized him from the place where he was being held, took him a few miles out of town, and lynched him. What were law enforcement officials doing? They were there keeping the peace and diverting or directing the traffic. Up until this time, 20 African Americans had been lynched in the state of Oklahoma, but never in Tulsa. Well, now black Tulsans realized or figured that if the white population was prepared to lynch a white man, it wouldn't be long before they lynched a black man. And sooner rather than later, their fears were realized. On May the 30th, 1921, a 19-year-old black shoeshine boy named Dick Rowland entered the elevator of the Drexel building here at 319 South Main Street in Tulsa. Why was he in the elevator in the Drexel building? Well, he wanted to use the bathroom. And as a black man, he couldn't use the bathrooms that were used by the white population. And there was a colored bathroom on the top floor of the Drexel building. Now, exactly what happened inside that elevator isn't known, but it seemed that as the elevator began to move, it lurched, causing the elevator operator, a 17-year-old white girl named Sarah Page, to trip and fall forward. It might be that Dick Rowland tripped and fell forward, but whatever happened, in that moment, young Sarah Page let out a shout of surprise. And that shout of surprise ended up being a young man's death sentence. I'll tell you why in just a moment.
It's the challenge that confronts every human heart: evil. How can you be kept from sin? And why do everyday people commit truly despicable acts? Get the free offer, Evil: The Challenge of the Sinful Heart. Simply call now, 800-253-3000. 800-253-3000. It's yours, free. Visit us online at iiwoffer.com. Call 800-253-3000.
Thanks for joining me today on It Is Written. In 1921, Tulsa, Oklahoma was a booming city. Greenwood was a prosperous black suburb of Tulsa. There were plenty of people in Tulsa, though, who resented that prosperity. And as a result, that Greenwood no longer exists. A 19-year-old shoeshine boy named Dick Rowland took the elevator to the top floor of the Drexel building at 319 South Main Street to use the colored bathroom. Now, something happened inside that elevator that caused the young white female elevator operator to scream. it seems that the elevator lurched and that Sarah Page fell in the direction of the young man. Dick Rowland knew that that scream was likely his death sentence. He ran out of the Drexel building as fast as he could, hoping that no one would see him. But somebody did see him. They heard a white girl scream and saw a young black man running. Now, in this case, 2 and 2 did not equal 4. But this was Tulsa in 1921. It wasn't long and he'd been arrested and locked up in the Tulsa County Courthouse. And shortly after that, a white mob arrived, demanding justice. They wanted Dick Rowland lynched. Sarah Page said repeatedly that Rowland had not harmed her. She wasn't hurt, her clothes weren't ruffled, but the police insisted that this was a case of attempted rape. She refused to sign a statement saying that that was so. But there was no way the facts were going to get in the way of an opportunity to put a young black man in his place. His place being, in this case, the end of a rope. Now, there was absolutely no basis in fact for what the mob was claiming and demanding. But here you had people you would assume were otherwise law-abiding and responsible demanding the death of an innocent young man simply because of the hatred that existed in their heart. Now, there was no lack of things fanning those flames. It's said that more than 3,000 people in Tulsa at the time were members of the Ku Klux Klan. And there was a white-owned newspaper at the time, the Tulsa Tribune, that ran a number of editorials that were overtly racist. One headline said, "A Negro assaults a white girl." After Rowland's arrest, the Tribune's front page screamed, "To lynch Negro tonight." But a large number of Greenwood men decided they were not going to let that happen. They knew the shoeshine boy had done nothing wrong, and they weren't about to sit by while yet another innocent young black man was executed by a mob for a crime he didn't commit. So that group of men, among them World War I veterans who had served their country, armed, came down here, the site of the courthouse at that time, and they confronted that white mob of more than 2,000. That mob had massed right here in this very area. In the tension that followed, a shot was fired. And it was all on. What followed was mayhem. White Tulsans who didn't have guns stole guns and ammunition from gun shops or hardware stores, and they headed for Greenwood. Greenwood, a symbol of black progress, was burned to the ground completely. More than 20 black churches, a hospital, a funeral home, a school, a theater, doctors' and lawyers' offices, hotels, grocery stores, restaurants, and hundreds of homes, more than 1,000 structures, were all completely destroyed. Homes were looted. Anything that could be taken was taken. In years following, black residents who came back to the area knew that those possessions that they had left behind were now in white-owned homes and businesses. Now, if that was all, that would be bad enough. But the human toll was much higher. 300 people were killed, murdered, slaughtered, for no other reason than the color of their skin. If you were black, you were a target. And there was no shortage of people willing to take aim. So what does it take to enable a person to cross that bridge and get to a place where they're willing to join in a mob murder of people from their own community, people who lived only blocks away, people they interacted with, people they passed by in the street? How do you get from here to there? Now, there was plenty that was allowed to cause the pressure to build up in Tulsa, the race-baiting newspaper, the Tulsa Tribune, the racism that was endemic in society, the Ku Klux Klan, jealousy at the prosperity of black Tulsans. But none of those things can be allowed to be used as excuses for an atrocity like this. People live with and deal with frustration of all kind all the time without resorting to anything like that. I'll give you an interesting case to consider for comparison. In 1921, the same year as the Black Wall Street was destroyed by a white mob and 300 people were murdered, two Italian-American immigrants were convicted of robbery and murder. The crime took place in Braintree, Massachusetts, and Nicola Sacco and Bartolomeo Vanzetti were convicted of the crime. There was an uproar. Academics weighed in. People protested that the two were innocent. Writers and artists pleaded that the courts would reconsider. Even Albert Einstein signed a petition. Workers went on strike. After the two men were executed, 200,000 people came out to watch the funeral procession. This was a big, big deal, because there were those who believed, rightly or wrongly, that a miscarriage of justice was being carried out. But 1,400 miles away, at right around the same time, 300 people were murdered in cold blood, and the silence was deafening. So what has to take place in a human heart to make it possible for somebody to go there? Racism, you might say. Okay, but not every racist takes a gun and shoots somebody dead and then burns down their home or their town. Mob mentality. Okay, but people on that day knew the difference between right and wrong. There were many white people who sheltered and protected African Americans from the mob and saved their lives. People knew better. Now, here's why this is so important to you and me. This is what the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Psalm 14 starts with these words. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They've all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. The Apostle Paul quotes Psalm 14 in Romans chapter 3, applying those verses to his day and by extension to ours. So what we read in the Bible tells us that we are capable of the most disastrous actions. There lurks within every one of us the capacity for real evil. So how does a person live a life that doesn't include hate and violence? What happened with the destruction of the Black Wall Street reveals a spiritual problem. Hatred is a spiritual problem. Racism is a spiritual problem. All sin is a spiritual problem. But thank God that the Bible makes clear that there is a way that we can live without what the Bible calls the old man of sin dominating our lives. More in a moment. Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and for your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you could visit us online at itiswritten.com. Just hours after the attack on Pearl Harbor in December of 1941, Japan attacked the Philippines. In the midst of the death and destruction, tens of thousands of American and Filipino soldiers were captured and forced to march on what would become known as the Bataan Death March. The horror of that march is almost impossible for people living in peacetime to imagine. And so we ask ourselves, why?
Why does a loving God allow such horrors to take place? The answers don't come easy. Join It Is Written on location in the Philippines for The March of Death as we explore together that challenging question. Why? Why me? The March of Death. Watch now on It Is Written TV.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And when he did so, he gave to the human family the ability and freedom to think and to do. We were given freedom of choice. But after sin entered the world, we inherited from Adam and Eve a fallen nature. We're born with a tendency towards evil. David wrote in Psalm 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." The Bible shows us what we're truly capable of, both for good and for evil. And in some Bible personalities, you see both. We'll take a look at one incredible example in just a moment. There was a lot of race-based hatred in the Bible. And some of the most breathtaking examples of murderous hatred are found where you'd least expect. In Jesus' day, the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. On one occasion, Jesus was heading to Jerusalem, and he was planning to spend the night en route in a Samaritan village. James and John went ahead to get things ready. But the Samaritans told James and John to get lost. They didn't want any Jews spending the night in their village. James and John were furious. They came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven and burn them up like the prophet Elijah did?" Now think about this. This was James and John. John who wrote the Gospel of John and the Little Johns and the Book of Revelation. They were asking Jesus if they could incinerate a village full of people. Where did this kind of hatred come from? Now consider the Apostle Paul. This is that case study I said we'd look at. Acts 14 says, rather matter-of-factly, "Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead." Now this was straight up religious hatred. He was brutalized simply because of what he believed. Acts 21:31 is speaking of Paul when it rather casually says, "And as they went about to kill him." In Acts chapter 23, the authorities have to protect Paul from a mob because they fear that that mob is literally going to tear Paul to pieces. Later in the same chapter, a group of 40 men take a pledge that they're not going to eat until after they have killed Paul. Now, they didn't kill Paul, and the Bible doesn't say exactly what happened to them, so that means they either broke their pledge or got really hungry. Paul was persecuted owing to a blind hatred brought about simply because of what he believed. Now, earlier in the book of Acts, it was Paul doing the persecuting. The great apostle Paul, who wrote so much of the New Testament, was himself responsible for the deaths of many people, again, based solely upon what they believed. Even Paul was capable of the worst crimes, and we've seen this many times around our world. Northern Ireland was divided owing to a political dispute drawn basically along religious lines. In the Middle Ages, the Roman Catholic Church ruthlessly persecuted millions of Protestants. But there were times those Protestants gained the ascendancy and they became the persecutors. So who does this? A lot of crime, a lot of evil is carried out by people you would not think are capable of doing so. But we all are. We are fallen. It's what sin has done. But here's the really good news in this. No one has to cave in to hate or racism or animosity or any kind of sin. we can all be kept by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our life. No matter your situation, no matter what you're wrestling with, no matter what your background is, no matter what your challenge is, God can do this for you. That's why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's Matthew 6:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Philippians 2:13 says that God works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Reporting on the aftermath of the destruction of Greenwood, the Tulsa Tribune wrote this about black residents returning to what was left of their homes. As they passed the city's most traveled streets, they held both hands high above their heads, their hats in one hand, a token of their submission to the white man's authority. They will not return to the homes they had on Tuesday afternoon, but to heaps of ashes, the angry white man's reprisal for the wrong inflicted on them by the inferior race. So who writes that? Who thinks like that? Well, the truth is, people just like you and me, but people whose hearts and minds are not surrendered to God. See, God gave to us freedom of choice. If your freedom of choice is not surrendered to Him, then there's no place that you are not capable of going in sin. But when your life is surrendered to God, that's when you're kept out of hate and in the hands of God. So how is it with you? Are you surrendered to God today, or is there something that must be surrendered to Him now? If there is, I want to encourage you to give your life, to give your freedom of choice completely to God.
It's the challenge that confronts every human heart: evil. How can you be kept from sin? And why do everyday people commit truly despicable acts? Get the free offer, Evil, The Challenge of the Sinful Heart. Simply call now, 800-253-3000. 800-253-3000. It's yours, free. Visit us online at iiwoffer.com. Call 800-253-3000.
Let's pray together now. Our Father in heaven, we realize when we look into the Bible what we are truly capable of. We look around the world, we see the depths of sin. We realize that could be us. Perhaps it has been us. I thank You for forgiveness, and I thank You for power, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, keeping us where You want us to be kept. Lord, the difference between living a life in You and a life of sin and shame is Jesus in us. Fill us with Your presence. Keep us now, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm looking forward to seeing you again next time. Until then, remember, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.
Central Louisiana native and author Clarence Hunter has a series of books you have got to check out, including Sonya Life. What was Alexandria like back in the days of segregation? Find out why Louis Satchmo Armstrong came to Alexandria once and said he'd never come back again. And then there's Stop, Rest, and Read, a compilation of short stories. You'll forget about your own problems when you laugh and cry with the characters in this book. Go Tell John captures what life was like for a young colored boy growing up in central Louisiana in the 1950s. Read about Lee Street, Club Tuxedo, the Rendezvous Lounge, Sugar Man's Pool Hall, and the Ritz Theater. And finally, Rest in the Dust, a story of the segregated South, racism in law enforcement, and the military. This series of books by author Clarence Hunter is available on Amazon.com and TheBookPatch.com. Author Clarence Hunter at Clarence_Hunter@MSN.com and www.ClarenceHunter.com. Another proud sponsor of KAYT. KQJO-FM.
Power anywhere where there's people. Power anywhere where there's people. A lot of people get the word revolution mixed up. And they think revolution is a bad word. Revolution is nothing but like having a sore on your body and then you put something on that sore to cure that infection. And I'm telling you that we're living in an infectious society right now. I'm telling you that we're living in a sick society right now. I'm telling you that we're living in a sick society, and anybody that endorses integrating into a sick society before it's cleaned up is a man who's committing a crime against the people. And what we're simply saying is that the leaders are having to become more responsible and accountable for their actions. I'm saying that any program that's brought into our community should be analyzed by the people of that community. It should be analyzed to see that it meets the relevant needs of that community. I mean, honestly, people, we gotta face some facts. That the masses are poor. The masses belong to what you call the lower class. And when I talk about the masses, I'm talking about the white masses. I'm talking about the black masses. I'm talking about the brown masses and the yellow masses too. We got to face the fact that some people say you fight fire best with fire. But we say you put out fire best with water. We say you don't fight racism with racism. We gonna fight racism with solidarity. We say you don't fight capitalism with no black capitalism. You fight capitalism with socialism. We ain't gonna fight no reactionary pigs who run up and down the street being reactionary. We're gonna organize, dedicate ourselves to the revolutionary political power, and teach ourselves the specific needs of resisting the structure of our power. Arm ourselves. I said we're gonna fight reactionary pigs with the international proletarian revolution. That's what it's got to be. The people have to have the power. People belong with the power.
The long-awaited decision in the Huey Newton murder trial, which has drawn worldwide attention, is now very near. The jury of seven women and five men are deliberating the fate of the Black Panther leader on the eighth floor of that building.
It is as far as the proceedings thus far that... the courts have only reflected the racist attitude of the general power structure, that I haven't received a fair trial, that I should not have been indicted in the first place. I was indicted by a blue ribbon grand jury, a middle class white grand jury that did not represent a cross section of the community. And the violence that is in this country is only a reflection of the violent nature of the country in the first place. You don't expect to go to someone else's home and disturb things and act violently and expect for your home to stay in a state of peace and
tranquility.
We started West Elgin, some
probably
where cops treated black folks like they weren't good. There was a black Merrick College kid named Newton. First name Huey, he starts with
every black man and woman, black person in this country had a right to have a shotgun in their home to defend themselves from unjust attacks by racism.
If they want to disarm people, I would say first start disarming the vicious police force that occupy our communities throughout the country, where we die, we're brutalized each day, and we're shot down the street. Our little kids are shot down in the street by criminals with guns under the disguise, going under the facade of peace officers. So, in the final analysis, that we stand for total disarmament, and this is not to exclude anyone. if you're going to disarm, then disarm the police, start with the police, and end up with the military. And then that we would advocate that all other countries disarm itself, and violence will stop. Because then the people will have more of a chance of a redress of grievance, because the racist and imperialist will not be protected by his guns. That is the only thing that protects him, his guns. So the violence that that America inflicts throughout the world is now coming home to roost, as Malcolm said before his death, that that when Kennedy's brother was killed, he made the statement of the chickens have come home to roost. And I think that this is an appropriate statement at this time, that the chickens have come home to roost.
Black people need some peace. White people need some peace. And we are going to have to fight. We're going to have to struggle. We're going to have to struggle relentlessly to bring about some peace. Because the people that we're asking for peace, they are a bunch of megalomaniac warmongers, and they don't even understand what peace means. We got to fight them. We got to struggle with them, and they don't understand what peace means. Bobby Seale is going through all types of physical and mental torture. But that's all right, because we said even before this happened that we're going to say it after this. Not that I'm locked up, not that everybody's locked up, that you can jail a revolutionary, but you can't jail a revolution.
Why do I have a lot of risk because of harassment? Why is there harassment? Because the people that harass me have set up a problem that made me disagree with them violently, and they set up this problem in order to exploit me and other people like me. And why they want to get rid of me? Because I'm saying something that might wake up some other exploited people, some other oppressed people. And if all these people ever get together, then these things that are exploiting us, we'll be able to run into the lake. That's why they want to get rid of us. And it's just, it's sort of like a primary thing for me. I'm the first move to their face. Mad about that. They're constantly bothering the people. Anybody that's out there for the protection of the people happens to be in direct conflict with them. What makes them mad about it? What makes them mad about it is that they have black people and white poor people and red poor people and Puerto Rican poor people and Latin American poor people of poor people of all descent. They have caught up in movements based on racism when the black sacrifice stood up and said that we don't care what anybody says. We don't think to fight fire with fire, man. We think you fight fire with water, man. We gonna fight racism, not racism, but we gonna fight the South there. We said we're not gonna fight capitalism with black capitalism, but we gonna fight the socialism. We stood up and said we're not going to fight reactionary pigs and reactionary state attorneys like this and reactionary state attorneys like Hanrahan with any other reactions on our part. We're going to fight their reaction with all of those people to get together and have an international protest revolution.
Right on. Right on. Hey, we always say the Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said the last words on my lips. I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletarian. I am the people. I'm not the big. You got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the big. The people are going to have to stand up against the big.
You're broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Move mountains. We gon' walk it out and move. Smile. when silence is a quiet, and it feels like it's getting hard to breathe, and I know you feel like dying, but I promise we'll take the world to its feet. Ooh, I won't dance, bring it to its feet.
Thank you. Christ, Instructions for Life, the brand new CD from Minister Fannie Reed, inspired by real life events.
During your daily activities, you can decree and declare and meditate on the Word of God.
This was revealed to me by the Lord for inspiration. I've learned over the years the Word works. We have to know who we are in Christ in order for the Word to work for us. Let the Word not depart from our mouth day or night. Meditate therein. We will find life, health, and strength even to the marrow of our bones.
Available now at the Zion Hill Church Bookstore in Pineville, Louisiana, or at 318-623-9503. Minister Fannie Reed, know who you are in Christ. Instructions for life.
Minister Fannie Reed is a proud underwriting sponsor of KAYTKQJOFM.
Aren't you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Are you spending your tax refund as soon as you get it? Welcome to 360 Financial Services, where you can fix your credit, file your taxes, and increase your financial stability. Hi, I am Catrice Mason. Fix your credit by disputing every negative item on your credit report. No matter what the item may be, it can be removed. You'll be able to get a quote at no expense and file your taxes at 360 Financial Services. I'm also looking to partner with like-minded entrepreneurs who are looking to start their own business. You have the opportunity to be your own boss, make residual income, get paid weekly, make your own hours, and you can work from anywhere with no background check and no overhead. Start 2021 with new goals, excellent credit, and a cash advance. God is opening new doors for you at 360 Financial Services. 318-730-8441.
360 Financial Services is a proud sponsor of KAYTKQJOFM. This is Wade Hampton in the Weather Center. Let's check our Thursday forecast. We'll have morning showers here in Alexandria with a high at 63 and a low at 53. Natchez, Mississippi is going to be cloudy. Look for a high at 64 and a low overnight at 54. Showers in the morning for Lake Charles, high at 67 and a low at 57. Monroe's going to have cloudiness all day. Look for a high temperature at 59 and a low at 47. Mostly cloudy conditions for Shreveport. A high temperature expected at 60 and a low overnight at 46. And that's a look at your Thursday weather forecast. I'm Wade Hampton.
KAYT and KQJOFM. We're five cities strong all day long. Lead it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
When I look in the mirror, I see a girl, beautifully broken, perfectly flawed. I don't even know how I made it this far. And I'm asking myself questions like, why did I do it? Why did this happen to me? Then I said, you can get through it. You just have to believe what I do now. Gotta make it all count. So why not me? I'm the perfect person to go through this storm. It won't break me, it won't kill me, I'll move on. And then I'll come out even better than before. And I'll never see this place anymore. 'Cause my faith is getting stronger every day. I'm removing everything that's in my way. And the fact that I survived another day makes me say, why not me? Why not me? Why? One day I'm up, the next I'm down. Problems coming faster than I can count. Who can I run to? No one to talk to. Can somebody tell me what to do? Why did I do it? Why did this happen to me? You can get through it. You just have to believe what I do now.
to go through the storm. It won't break me, it won't kill me, I'll move on. Then I'll come out even better than before. And I'll never see this place anymore. Cause my faith is getting stronger every day. I'm removing everything that's in my way. And the fact that I survived another day. Oh. This is my moment, there's no turning back. It took me a while, but I have no regrets. I've given my all, letting go of the past. I'm not gonna break, and I won't be afraid. Oh, this is my moment, this is my time. Just move out my way, cause I'm not backing down. Now that I realize who I am, I'm alive. So why not me? I'm the perfect person to go through the storm. It won't break me, it won't kill me, I'll move on. Then I'll come out even better than before.
Sitting Service is a personal care assistance agency. Kelly's assists with bathing, grooming, meal preparation, medication reminders, light housekeeping, laundry, and more. Kelly's has served all parishes of Region 6 for over 27 years. Kelly's is now providing services to our veterans in their homes. Locally owned and locally operated, with a desire to assist members of our community to remain in their homes for as long as possible. Thank you for giving Kelly's the opportunity to serve you with dignity, respect, and compassion, which has been our foundational qualities throughout our ministry. Kelly's is seeking attendants and caregivers with the same qualities of dignity, respect, and compassion that have sustained this agency. Again, thank you for 27 years of service to Central Louisiana. Kelly's is an equal opportunity employer. For more information, 318-793-8453 or 1-800-913-7784. The website is KellyServiceHouston.com. Kelly Sitting Service is another proud sponsor of KAYT-KQJO-FM. The new book from Fannie M. Reed is here. My Faith on Display. Testimonies and highlights from her life. Fannie Reed shares her faith and shows the world light instead of darkness. My Faith on Display, 10 chapters of life-changing stories you won't want to miss. Available now at the Zion Hill Bookstore, Amazon, Kindle, Nordstrom, and and from Fannie Reed. 318-623-9503. My Faith on Display by Fannie M. Reed. A must read for any person of faith. Author Fannie M. Reed is another proud sponsor of KAYT KQJO-FM.
This is KAYT and KQJO-FM. Five cities strong all day long. 4/7.
That's my only station.
Reconcile.